I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB here live in the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios. Got a guest today. A staff member on Monday. We got Stephen Utroska in with us. Stephen will be hosting his own show coming up starting next week, 6 to 7 o'clock. You will be, you know, when I first started this show, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys, Matrix, Red Pill, you know, waking people up. I talk about, you know, false flag stuff and central banking stuff. And I really toyed with the idea of calling myself the Rooster because it was early in the show and being a wake up thing. You could be the
Rooster. Mine's the wake up hour.
You are the wake up hour now at 6 a.m. But I think that's, I mean, I think that's good. There's a lot of people that are up moving about, so it'll give them something to tune into.
And we'll we'll podcast it too, just like you do your show, so that anybody that's not up at 6 a.m. to listen to it live, they can always listen to the podcast later.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Hewitt, you know, we carry some national people, and he's red meat Republican stuff, but he's very establishment guy, so I'm kind of glad to see him take a back seat there.
I'm just taking 1 hour of his show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I came in here almost 6 years ago now, and took what was the guy's name? The Herman Cain. Cain had a syndicated show, and he left his syndication deal, and so WYAB took the Howard Cain, which is very traditional, very, you know, run of the mill establishment Republican show. And I came in the first week and started talking about ending the drug war and legalizing drugs.
That was
a bit of a shock to the system, I think, for people. And I don't know if it's worked since, but
and you and I were talking off the air right before the show that I got my radio start right here on the Madison Show.
Yep.
So, 2 years ago, I started doing the Freedom and Prosperity Hour every Thursday from 10 to 11.
Right.
Still carrying on the show with AFP, but, you know, with me leaving the organization, I left it to them. But glad to continue my time here at WYAB and filling in, you know, in the last year and so for you, for Clay Edwards, for Jameson Haygood, filled in on multiple shows and ready to go out on my own.
It's fun. I mean, no, I think it's an interesting medium. It'll be interesting. I think what your show brings that we do not have is you are kind of the insider. I think some of the other hosts, I mean, I am the ultimate outsider in that I just have no interest. People are kind of, you need to come to Grip and Grin. Nothing makes my skin crawl more than just the idea of a Grip and Grin to where I have to listen to Roger Wicker or Michael Guest. And maybe that's short-sighted. Maybe I'm not engaged enough. You can't make any change if you don't play the game, that kind of stuff. That's just not me, but you're wired into that stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit today because you and I have a bit of a running debate that I think is always interesting to talk about, and that is you believe that the Republican Party probably needs to be changed, and you're part of the Freedom Caucus, which I absolutely support as the best direction the Republicans could possibly head in, and it's doable. It's theoretically doable, but my position is that the two-party system has failed. Washington, D.C. is gone, and I think a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh party out there may be the best chance for some level of change, but that may be pie in the sky, too. So we'll probably talk a little bit about that. But
I don't discredit that idea either, that more parties could make things better. I'm not completely against the idea, but I think until we have radical change, and I think it's got to start at the grassroots, people have to get
right.
awake. You know, yeah. They need a wake-up call.
Right.
I think people have to wake up and have to start getting more involved. They have to start reaching out to their elected officials, getting involved in elections. I mean, we had, what, there was like a 30% turnout on at the elections this past election.
I don't even know.
It's like a 30% turnout.
Really?
And so you're talking about...
This is for midterms in Mississippi.
Yeah, for midterms. Yeah, so there's a 50%, you know, only about 50% of the people in Mississippi are even registered to vote.
Yeah.
And then out of those 50%, 30% of them showed up to vote.
Really?
So, you know, you're talking about 15% of the population is choosing the representatives for 100% of the people here.
Oh, yeah.
So until people wake up and get... You know, get active and start doing something again. And I understand it's very difficult for most people. You know, I was on Clay Edwards' show earlier this morning. He and I talked about it's hard for just normal working individuals. They go to work, they come home, spend time with their family, they go to church on Sunday, and then they do it all over again. It's hard for them to get out and get involved.
Well, plus 2 to 3 hours a day on Facebook and Twitter.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
They've got to make sure that they get that in there so they can – and sports.
So, I mean, you know, part of what you do, part of what I want to do with my show is to try to bring people who don't have time to go out and be at the Capitol when all the deals are being made, be in committee meetings, track bills, know what's going on. I want to be able to bring them the short and sweet every day of what's going on so they can pick up the phone and spend, instead of having to spend hours every day trying to track everything and know what's going on, they listen to the show and then they spend 10 minutes texting or calling their representative and saying, hey, heard this bill's coming out. This is how you should vote on it.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, do we think that more people should be voting? You know, I mean, there are moves now to make voting age 16 in some places. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of this whole idea of everybody needs to vote because, I don't know, we've had more and more, you know, we've opened up voting for more and more groups of people. And yep. I'm not saying that women shouldn't vote. Sometimes
Mike,
I think
how
that.
How dare you?
Sometimes it depends on the woman. I mean, you know, but, you know, it seems like the more people we have voting in this country or the more, I mean, it's wide open now. It seems like things get worse. I am for maybe some kind of an IQ test or I don't know exactly what it is. But I would say, you know, I would move the age up, maybe 30. I mean, I was a bit of an idiot in my 20s.
I think 25. I'm not saying move the voting age to 25, but I'm saying at age 25, that's where I became more aware of what was going on in the world, I guess. You know, and I actually have a will set up for my kids, leave assets to my kids, and I put in there 25.
Yeah.
So it will, anything that I leave to my kids, any assets I leave to my kids, which of course I'm married, so my wife has, you know, she'll get everything else, but I have certain assets set up specifically for my kids, and they will go into a what do they call it, the grantor, whoever, you know, does your will. It will go into their possession to control the assets until my kids turns 25.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing 18. I'm not doing 21. I know how I was at 18 and 21.
I inherited money when I was 20. I immediately dropped out of University of Georgia and moved out to L.A. with no job for 8 months and partied like a beast and spent every nickel of it.
So I think 25 is an age to where people have gotten a little bit of life skills. They've been out of school, you know, whether they, you know, high school at 18. You know, if they go to college, they get out at 21 or 22. They have a few years of being out in the real world to where they can, you know, kind of figure out the way things are going. And if you look, I mean, literally, if you look at the voting, the age of voting, people in that 18 to, you know, really almost up to 30, which you're saying and a little over, they heavily vote left.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Well, because that's the old, you know, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative when you get older, you've got no brain.
Yeah.
You know, so there, I'm sure that
I don't know about the heart thing. I don't know how, you know, being a liberal and taking from your neighbor to pay for your free stuff. Right. How's that having a heart?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I think that
compassion,
you know,
Mike.
When you're young, you see, you don't have the life experience. You don't understand economics and these kinds of things. You just see a problem. You just want to see homelessness fixed, and you just feel like, well, nobody's doing it. We got to get the government to do it. I've always I've always appreciated the heart of a lot of the liberals that I've known in my life. I think they're well-intentioned people, want to give people access to health care, but they want to do it through the government, which I think it's economic ignorance more than anything else. But I don't know. Anyway, we're in an interesting time right now, because when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. I want you to tell me what a conservative is these days, because I got to tell you, I considered myself a real conservative in the 1990s, voted heavy Republican, but I was totally mistaken as to what a conservative is. And I got to tell you, I'm lost in all the political labels. Well,
a conservative is not a neocon.
Right.
You know, a true conservative. And so it's funny, you know, I have gotten to where I rarely call myself just a conservative. I usually have another adjective onto that. I usually say ultra conservative, or, you know, some people don't like it, but I'll say far-right conservative, or, you know, liberty-minded conservative. I like using that a lot of times, too, liberty-minded conservative, to let people know that I'm not just one of the run-of-mill, you know, quote-unquote conservatives, because that doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. Yeah. I don't think any of the labels absolutely mean nothing. Much of anything at all. They really are very personal and very subjective, so it's always interesting to me. We're on conservative talk radio, but each show here is different. Mine probably the most noticeably.
I'll give you, when we come back after the break, I'll give you my 4 points of what I think are conservative. And I kind of, you know, especially when I was with AFP and we used to do a lot of town halls and stuff like that, I would kind of give these 4 points of what I thought it meant to be a conservative.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, well, we'll get into that when we come back. We're talking to Stephen Yatroska, who will start his own show this coming Monday at 6 a.m. Liberty Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I? All right, we are talking to Stephen Yatroska, who will start his show, Liberty Wake Up Call, on Monday here on WYAB, adding another local host to the roster here. So I was have said many times, I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon Republican back in the 1990s, led there. Rush Limbaugh was pretty integral in that. I owned a business. I was on the road a lot. My sales territory was from McAllen, Texas, all the way up to Oklahoma City. All through Texas and the triangle there of San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. So I spent a lot of time in my car, a lot of time listening to conservative talk radio. And I was probably always somebody who wasn't a huge fan of the government. So I came to conservatism thinking that the conservatives were the Republicans, and the Republicans were for small, limited government and free market solutions to issues. As it got to the George W. Bush term, I realized the Republicans didn't stand for that at all. And one of the biggest things that I saw that turned me away from Republicans was when they passed Medicare Part D. The wars, obviously, I actually argued for going into Iraq at one point. I had become
a... You were there.
I was, you know, they had gotten me to be this bloodthirsty American, we got to put our boot on everybody's throat to get them in line, garbage. And then I turned against that when I really realized, oh my gosh, it didn't have any weapons.
No weapons of mass destruction.
Isn't that strange? And certainly no threat to the United States. So that started getting a little wanky to me. And then Medicare Part D, which was... The largest entitlement since Johnson in the 60s in the Great Society was passed by the Republican Party. And I went, oh, wait a second. I thought these guys were against this other stuff. So here I wanted to talk about what a conservative was. But here's where I come. You know, so you and I and we're pretty fellow travelers on a lot of freedom issues, and I appreciate your direction for what you'd like to see the Republican Party go into. And I think the most viable thing to happen is fixing the Republican Party. It's a standing party. It's got an infrastructure. It's got a lot of power. It does seem to be the tool to get the country back on the right shape. I don't believe that it's going to happen because I think it's so thoroughly corrupted. So tell me, give me your 4 points for what a conservative is, because I would have considered myself a conservative really not even that long ago, but the direction that I've seen the Republicans go in and the people that I hear describe themselves as conservatives, I disagree with them on so many things. I think to myself, I guess I'm not conservative if that's what conservatism is. So tell us what it is.
Well, first, a couple points before I get into my 4 points. Kind of like a preacher, you know, you got to start out before you give your points for your sermon.
I got you.
But I think the reason why I have not given up on the term conservative, now I use clarifiers for it when I say, you know, call myself a conservative. The reason I haven't given it up is because what I believe is a true conservative is what a lot of people now call libertarians.
Yes.
Or, you know,
that's why. Yes.
Yeah. Right. And so now I don't refer to myself as a libertarian ever. I don't like the term libertarian. I don't like the Libertarian Party, the party itself.
Yeah, now, is this? Have you followed this Mises Caucus? You don't like these Mises Caucus guys?
I do like the Mises. I like the Mises Caucus guys, but the party itself. So they are a faction of the Libertarian Party, and they're trying to do a coup,
right?
Just like we should with the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I think the coup
is accomplished. It's. I mean, they have gotten all leadership positions with the Libertarian Party right now. It's completely run by the Ron Paul faction of the Libertarian Party. And I think Ron Paul is one of the OGs of actual freedom in this country.
But he was a Republican.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
But no, you know, I have followed the Mises Caucus. I've never been involved in the Libertarian Party. I've never been a member of the Libertarian Party. But I have followed it from from afar. I'm in some of the groups that follow and see what goes on. And I think they're doing good things. And I wish them the best. And maybe one day if they, you know, can actually get to things together, then I'd be interested in talking to them more. But I think what they are trying to do, what true libertarians are, and you have the same problem with the Libertarian Party, you got
bunch
of disenfranchised voters that have no philosophical idea of what they believe in. They just know that it's a third party and it sounds cool, so they want to join it.
Right.
But the people who are philosophical libertarians, I think are very similar and like-minded to what old... You know, what I consider true conservatives are.
Right. It was a very natural progression for me, because what I felt was that I still have the same beliefs of small, limited government, and free markets and all that stuff. It's just I thought the Republicans were for those things, and they're not. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'm still the same person, so what would my label be? Oh, it looks like I'm a libertarian because I'm definitely not a Republican.
Yep. So I have not given the liberal... Republicans, I haven't given them the win of stealing the term conservative away from me.
I quit real quick. I was ready to get off.
Yeah. So, but no, my 4 points, and of course, this is 30,000 foot flyover. I mean, from these 4 points, we can go into policy, but nobody ever wants to talk about policy. Nobody, you know, on the airwaves, nobody, you know, when we have town halls, nobody wants to talk about, you know, the weeds of policy. But I think these 30,000 foot flyover 4 points, lower taxes, individual liberty, limited government, and free markets. So, I mean, those four things, I know you agree with those four things.
Absolutely, and the Republicans check off zero, well, maybe lower taxes, but...
Sometimes. But, of course, I am more involved with Mississippi politics, Mississippi government than I am, you know, the feds, but they're pretty much all about the same. There's a swamp in Jackson, just like there is in D.C., but let's look at those points, all right? So the 4 points, we'll go through them. Let's talk about them here in Mississippi. Lower taxes. We did just get, I will say, I give them credit.
Yeah.
We did. It took us several years of fighting the Republicans. Now, keep in mind, and I know most of your listeners know this, but we have a supermajority of Republicans in both the House
and
the Senate and the governorship. We have a trifecta. It means we can pass any bill we want. Republicans can pass anything we want, right? Well, it took us fighting hard for 4 years. For the last 4 years, we fought hard to get income tax elimination, and we got a reduction.
Right.
Not a full elimination.
1%.
We got...
Well, it's a 20%, I guess. It went from 5 to 4, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and it stepped down. It actually ended up stepping down to 3.5%. It's a 5-year step down, so it's complicated. It's not just an immediate tomorrow we got you know, 1.5 cut off of it. It's a step down. So now, keep in mind, we're $2 billion over revenue from 2019 to now.
A wash in cash.
Yeah, so we're $2 billion a year up from where we were. Income tax brings in about 1.8.
Yeah.
So we could have fully, wholly eliminated it in one fell swoop, just not grown government.
Right.
So from, you know, first point, lower taxes, they did do that one thing, but every single year, the Republicans pass, overwhelmingly vote for it. You'll get a handful of people in the House, a couple of people in the Senate vote against it. But local taxes, they institute new local taxes every year. Vote them in, hospitality tax, restaurant tax, every year. Yeah. They're voting in it. So are they lower taxes? Not really.
Yeah.
Always a discussion. I'll give them again. They haven't raised the gas tax since like 1988. So I'll give them that, although they're always talking about raising the gas tax. They just haven't ever done it. So are they lower taxes? That's a wash, I guess. Limited government. Far from it.
No. Yeah.
Far from a limited government. I mean, every time I talk to, Republicans in the House and Senate that call themselves conservatives all the time. And I harp on our elected officials, but these elected officials are voted in by the people.
Right. Who also call themselves conservatives.
Who also call themselves conservatives. But we get members of the legislature all the time, conservative Republicans, and talking to them about limited government. Oh, yeah, I support limited government. They're campaigning on limited government. But then they're supporting, how many licensing boards do we have in Mississippi?
Yeah.
You can't get a job in Mississippi without going through some kind of licensing board. Completely want to shut down the free market, which is another point of mine, the free market. But limited government, politicians nowadays want government involved in just about every faction of your life as they possibly can get.
Yep.
And it hasn't changed. Mississippi, supermajority Republicans since 2011. We've had over 10 years of owning it. And how much limited government? We're cutting on down. We've got our red tape reduction initiative. Secretary of State's leading. He's done some good things here and there. But, I mean, by and large, do we have a limited government under Republican control? No.
No.
All right. Individual liberty. Mississippi... Fairly free compared to the other tyrannical states around us.
Yeah, compared to Michigan.
Compared to California, compared to New York, places like that. We have fairly lax gun laws. That's certainly part of individual liberty. But man, we're taxed to death. Individual income tax, corporate income tax. You're taxed on the money you earn, then you're taxed on the products you buy with the money you've earned.
Right.
Then you're taxed on your land every year, so you never own it.
Right.
I wouldn't call that individual liberty.
Right.
They're taxing us to death. And then free markets. We don't have a free market.
No.
And you and I have had this fight over and over and over. And I know I always advocate for a free market, but we're not in a free market. Everything is regulated. Every business is regulated. Everything we do is regulated. It's funny. It's probably 2 years ago, and I've posted it a couple of times since then because it's funny, and I always bring it up, and I can't help but to post it when I see it again. But it's a kid's book. It's a joke. It's a meme. It's a kid's book, but it says everything I want to do is illegal.
Yeah.
It's true though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't do anything. You can't go hunt on your own property. Without being
permission,
without having permission.
Yeah.
In Mississippi, if your name is on the deed of the property, you can hunt on it without having a license, but you can't kill a deer that doesn't meet the requirements. You can't hunt outside of season, can't hunt at night, can't use spotlights, can't do any of that. It's your property. The deer are on your property. They're telling you, you don't own those deer.
Right.
Those are property of the state. You have to follow our rules. So you can actually hunt on it if your name is on the deed without a license in Mississippi, but you can't transport it. Hog, if you want to catch a hog on your property, all of a sudden you're a felon. You're a felon in Mississippi if you transport a hog from your property.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So, do we have those 4 points in Mississippi under Republican control? No.
No. We do not. Well, the Republican Party does not stand for any of these things. And see, I think this is kind of interesting because you said you would never refer to yourself as a libertarian. All of the complaints you have, libertarians address. Every single one of them. You want to talk about taxation, Libertarian Party.
Philosophical libertarians. And you got to clarify that because you got the same problems with the Libertarian Party. Go to the Libertarian Party. Look at it. Now, I've never been to one of their conventions, but I see them post about it all the time. I see videos of it. I've looked at it. Same problem. They have people that are not philosophical libertarians, just like we have in the Republican Party, people who aren't philosophical
Absolutely.
Republicans.
The Libertarian Party has been a train wreck. I like who has it now. And I you know, I don't fall in, I'm not a partisan guy at all. If the Libertarian Party was to change and switch back in any way, it was pretty hard leftist until just a few months ago. Yep. It was real bizarre, strange stuff, woke stuff in the Libertarian. Well, and if they change that back,
the Freedom Caucus is to the Republican Party what the Mises Caucus is to the Libertarian
Right.
Party.
I absolutely agree with that.
And this is the problem. I mean, we've had this debate before, but the reason why I think there's still hope for the Republican Party, or that's at least my fight. My fight is to turn our party back to where it should be and where it was in the past, before we became just tax and spend neocons. The reason why I want to say that I think we can is because we already have the party in place to win elections.
Right.
I'm not saying libertarians or some other party, Patriot Party or Conservative Party or whatever, couldn't come up and start winning elections and start getting the people who were philosophical conservatives into that party and start winning. I'm not saying they can't. It's just a much longer and harder road, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of our debate. Is the corruption so entrenched in the Republican Party that it can't be rooted out, so your only choice is to try to outflank them with another party?
Yeah.
Or is but it ultimately comes down to the conservative voter out there, and the conservative voters do not demand any of those four things that you just laid out for conservatism. And this is why I ask, what are conservatives? Because I know a lot of people who describe themselves as conservatives, but and they talk about the Constitution. Oh, my God, they don't care about the Constitution at all. I mean, it has absolutely no basis in it. They will do mental gymnastics to continue to say that they are conservatives, constitutional conservatives, while completely ignoring, freedom and taxation issues.
100%.
So I got to take a break. I'm going to come back. I've got a little list here of things that the Republicans are they're behind.
Yeah.
That is so far from what I thought conservatism was that I can't even recognize the party anymore.
Yeah. Well, everybody, grassroots especially, but politicians too. Everybody's a conservative till you start talking about the program that most benefits them,
or they've been hoodwinked into believing somehow benefits them.
Talk about Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people call themselves conservatives and want to expand Medicaid, want to expand, red tape on businesses, new licensing, new boards, new whatever.
Yeah.
They all love it. New welfare programs. You talk to a conservative, general conservative, grassroots, person on the ground, conservative, like, what do you think about, government control over anything? Oh, I know, limited government. We shouldn't have government control or anything. Well, what about your public schools? Whoa, now.
Yeah.
Don't take my public schools from me.
Right, yeah. It smells like hypocrisy to me, but that's an unpopular position on conservative radio. We'll finish talking about this when we come back. We're talking to Stephen Utroska, who will start his own show starting on Monday, 6 to 7 a.m. Tune in for it. Be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here in the Mac Hike of Flowood Studios, talking to Stephen Utroska, who will begin his Liberty Wake Up Call show starting on Monday, 6 to 7 a.m., and then a podcast after that if you're not up in time. So we're talking a little bit about what I love to talk about when Stephen comes in, which is the Republican Party savable, or, should we be looking to other parties? So hey, I'm going to tell you some things that the Republican Party is responsible for, and many conservative people who, air quotes here in the studio, call themselves conservatives, have supported these things along the way. I think they're recognizing that some of these things were bad ideas, but then they make the same mistake over again. And we know, one of the things, talking about people who shouldn't vote. Anytime I've criticized Donald Trump, invariably people say, oh, I guess you would have loved a Hillary presidency. It's this binary thinking that I think makes people, it should disqualify you from voting if you can't think with any level of nuance whatsoever. If you criticize Trump, you must love Biden. I mean, it's immature fourth grade analysis stuff, but you have to deal with it all the time. We know what the Democrats are about these days. They've lost their ever loving minds. They've always been about big government. I've always been against big government. And I think Sheriff Mack, who was the sheriff who ran as a Democrat in Jackson, it's the only time I've ever voted for a Democrat ever. So, you know, I'm certainly not a Democrat in any way. But here's what I see of the Republicans. The Republicans are almost wholly responsible for the war on terror, the Department of Homeland Security, and what has become a national surveillance police state.
Patriot Act.
Yeah. The National Defense Authorization stuff. And this is being used against the American people right now. These kinds of things. Conservatives are the ones that cheered for the war on terror. They were the ones that demanded that, you know, that we initiate these wars. The whole war on terror thing was run by Fox News and conservative voters out there. Now, I don't know if they've had an epiphany to realize what a terrible, catastrophic mistake that was, but I did notice that the libertarians, at the time I wasn't one, I was a Republican, but the libertarians were on the sidelines going, ooh, don't do this. This Patriot Act is a terrible idea. Department of Homeland Security is just more big government. It's going to come back and be used against you. And I listened to them and I said, you know, that kind of makes sense. Well, it's turned out to be true.
Yeah.
So so-called conservatives are for huge government programs when it comes to the police state. This includes the war on drugs, which is by every metric a massive failure, has done nothing but exacerbate all of the problems around prohibition. And conservatives, so-called small, limited government, constitutional conservatives, are absolutely fine with putting their neighbor into a cage should they dare crunch up a plant and snort it or smoke it. So conservatives not exactly hitting on the small government label that they had. Republicans right now are the ones responsible for all of the aggressive towards China. And it's so funny to me to watch so-called conservatives who say this Ukraine stuff is absolutely insane. We're rattling sabers with a nuclear power, Russia. You know, our meddling got us into this in the first place. But we do need to send money to Taiwan, because if China makes a move on Taiwan, China's going to come take our stuff.
Well, our own Roger Wicker.
Yes, absolutely.
He's talking about getting into nuclear arms battles.
Yes. He wants a no-fly zone over Ukraine, and the normies in Mississippi will send him back to office as many times as he wants.
I will say that at one time, the Democratic Party was at least anti-war.
Exactly. They have come along. They're absolutely horrible on war now, too.
So now there's no difference between the two parties. Right. They're both
absolutely true. Yep.
Ready to send your children to die for a war that has very little to do with us.
Right, and bankrupt our country doing it. I don't know if you've seen the numbers on the latest defense bill. I'm going to talk about it next hour, but I may hit it. So Republicans are the ones really doing the saber rattling with China right now, which
but
is
now
just
that,
another.
Now that it's popular with the Democrats, a lot of Republicans are now coming back.
Yes, you know, that's true. Yeah,
wait a minute. We shouldn't get in another war. We just got out of Iraq and Afghanistan 20 years. Let's not get back into another war with, you know, Russia and Ukraine. That's not our war. So, hey, you know.
But it's definitely not the Republican Party. It is some of the people that you like and that I like in the Republican Party, these freedom people, the Thomas Masseys, the Ron Pauls, Rand Pauls, the Marjorie Taylor Greens. So I'm on board with that. Republicans are firm support of central banking in this United States. They are absolutely make no bones about the Fed. They've never demanded any kind of audit. They support the Republican Party supports corporate welfare, corporate subsidies. They are lock, stock and barrel owned by the banks and all of these corporate interests that have transferred tremendous amount of wealth from the people to the, you know, top 0.01%. And the Republican Party does absolutely. They don't even give lip service to it, even to the point where they have the perfect opportunity in 2022 to explain how disastrous central banking is through this inflation and money creation. And instead, they're going with the Bidenflation tag to make it look like a partisan issue.
And even outside of federal politics, you look here in Mississippi.
Yes.
Mississippi, we just gave, I have spent the last month harping, every chance I've gotten on the radio, I've harped about this. We just gave $250 million to a woke out-of-state company who supports Paris Climate Accord, supports ESGs. I mean, this company, they wouldn't release the name of the company because they were afraid people would find out about the company if they said the name. Without even publicly saying the name of this company, our legislature went in, allocated $250 million of Mississippi taxpayers' money to give to this company to bring 1,000 jobs in. And at the same time, we have other companies in Mississippi, Lane Furniture and other ones, that are going out of business. Lane Furniture being the biggest, lost 2,700 jobs.
Yeah.
2,700 jobs. So instead of, I don't know, maybe giving that $250 million back to the taxpayers, back to the corporations that paid it through corporate taxes, instead of giving that money back to the people and giving Mississippi an open and free market system where businesses can thrive. Instead of doing that, our Republicans down in Jackson are voting to give $250 million of your money away yep. to these big out-of-state companies who are promising to bring jobs in, which, by the way, we have done multiple times in the past.
And still sit at the bottom.
And we're still sitting at the bottom, but generally, now there's been a couple of times, you know, that we've made money off our investment, but more times than not, Mississippi, anytime they make a big investment like that, loses. We lose in it.
Yep.
It's not a good investment. Time and time again, we put big money into these out-of-state companies who promise to come in and bring us the world, and they go bankrupt, and we lose all our money.
Yeah. So, you know, so when I look at this laundry list of things that the Republican Party is lock, stock, and barrel on board with, wars, central banking, they're the handmaidens of big pharma, just like the Democrats are.
Had the trifecta under Trump, his yep. first term, could have repealed Obamacare, said they were going to do that. That was their leading
cry. Three election cycles.
Leading cry. Didn't do a thing.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
But the Libertarian Party is good on every single one of those issues. They are against central banking. They are the only place you hear end the Fed is at the Libertarian. They are the ones who say absolutely. I mean, to me, the Libertarian Party, or at least the Libertarian philosophy that a lot of conservatives, you know, repel from this idea, and there's been a whole lot in the last few months I've been documenting here of Republicans coming out and really calling libertarians the major problem in this country right yeah. now, the one group of people who've never had any power. But I do an awful lot of quotes from founding fathers, and libertarian philosophy is the closest thing to the founding documents yeah. of this country that exist right now.
You.
But so-called constitutional conservatives cannot see that and support a Republican Party that is for all of these huge government programs.
Yep. No, I can't debate all that. I'm with you.
Yep.
But my model is, so we just have a different, I don't think you and I disagree.
Nah.
We just have a different model on what we think will work moving forward. If you look at what's going on in the House right now in D.C., the Freedom Caucus in the House now has, you know, they got about 40 members in the caucus, and that is a huge share of the Republican vote, with us being the Republicans being the majority party now. So much so that nobody can become Speaker without the Freedom Caucus giving the stamp of approval.
I guess we're about to find out.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Kevin McCarthy gets in, then the Freedom Caucus either wins big by getting chairmanships, by getting, you know, legislation passed, by doing something, or it completely failed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Well, I'm with you. I think Thomas Massie's one of the greatest congressmen that's ever existed in the United States.
Yep.
He's a Republican. Ran as a Republican, always been a Republican, always will be a Republican, and I absolutely support him. He's just a rare bird.
Yeah.
He is so
rare. Just like Ron Paul was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right, got to take one break. We'll be right back.
It's been a ride. Everybody, I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, last couple of minutes of the hour, talking to Stephen Utrosco. You hear a lot more from him. He's going to start doing a show from 6 to 7 a.m. Tell us about the show.
Yep. So it's Liberty Wake Up Call. Basically what we've been talking about today, that's what, you know, other than the debate about the Libertarian and Republican Party, but what's going on in Jackson, you know, mostly, especially during session in Mississippi, which is January, February, and March, I'll be giving you the day-to-day of what's going on in the Capitol, what's happening, bringing you, you know, the kind of the back, you know, behind door, closed door scene of what I know, what's going on, what the Freedom Caucus is doing to try to help, you know, push the Republican Party and the Republicans in Jackson to actually pass true conservative legislation. So we'll see if we can get that done. But 6 to 7 a.m., of course, you can catch it on the air on WYAB.com streaming or on my podcast at libertysteven.com. But looking forward to it, man. I've been on WYAB for several years now, but ready to step off and start my own show.
I think you will add a new dimension to the station. Here is this your intro.
politics in the state of Mississippi, and nationally for that matter, are at best crooked.
Yeah.
And that's why you need someone who's real, who's raw, who calls it correctly. This is Liberty Wake Up Call. This is Liberty Wake Up Call. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time. So get that first cup brewing and get ready for your Liberty Wake Up Call. And now your host, Stephen Utroska.
There it is.
Yeah, I like
it. Catch it. We'll be there.
That's that is exactly what you need for a show that starts at 6 a.m.
Yeah, Monday, December 12th, 6 a.m. We'll be there. Join us.
Yeah, that'll get people going. Well, that's great. Well, we're happy to have you on. I think, like I say, I think you'll bring something completely different to the station, so that's a good thing as well. So I'll still be here at 9 o'clock whining like I always do, and hopefully you'll come back. But when I've got something I want to talk to you about, now you'll be in the studio. I can corral you to stick around for a little while.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Yep, great. All right, so that's Stephen Utroska starting on Monday, 6 a.m. Liberty Wake Up Call. I love the idea of refreshing the tree. Yeah, that's the radical stuff I love. Yeah, great. All right, that's all the time we got. I'll be back next hour. Stick around.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We got our segments here. We'll do False Flag Friday and then finish up with This Week on the Crazy Train. We'll take a look at the world's descent into madness as it has continued its steady march. False Flag Friday is really about trying to, as Stephen Utroska and I were talking about, trying to wake up conservatives who hook, line, and sinker bought things like the war on terror. The idea that American exceptionalism is not our freedoms and the great country that we were handed, but military might. And I try to deprogram conservative listeners on many of these things. There was a great message put out. It's like a meme. It says it's almost like people from different countries get along with each other when there's no governments there to tell them who to hate. And there is a picture there. It's the World Cup 2022. U.S. players consoled Iranian players following a group stage win. And it's absolutely right. And unfortunately, to a lot of people, conservatives and now the left as well, that has bought completely into the war. We just have one major party in this country, and it's the war party. As they say, it doesn't matter who you vote for, you end up getting John McCain. But it is so true that without governments around to tell you who to hate, everybody would get along. I'm not saying there would be no skirmishes. Countries are always run by people who have ill intent. That's what governments are, just big baskets of corruption and ill intent. But it is always the governments that actually force people to hate other people. Right now, the conservatives are buying into all of the China's coming to take our stuff. Here is just to show you that there is absolutely no stopping the war machine. I think the left traditionally had opposed massive military spending. Of course, they have been now completely absorbed into the blob, courtesy really of Barack Obama, who brought them in and dropped more bombs in the Middle East and started more wars than George W. Bush did. Of course, then Donald Trump dropped more bombs than Obama, and now Joe Biden is slow walking us into World War III. Here is how our most recent defense budget came about. Joe Biden's initial defense budget request was $813 billion, remembering we don't have any of this money. The House Armed Services Committee version took Joe Biden's $813 billion to $839 billion. Then the Senate weighed in. The Senate Armed Services Committee version was $847 billion. And the final version of our defense budget now, and this is just the Pentagon, this does not include things like Homeland Security, CIA, State Department, the rest of the war machine, which takes us well over $1 trillion a year. The final version of our defense bill was $859 billion. Joe Biden asked for $813 billion. The House says we can do better than that, $839 billion. The Senate says, hey, we've got donors, we've got to pay off too. They take it up to $847 billion, and we finally arrive at $859 billion. It doesn't matter who you vote for, Republican Party, Democrat Party, you're voting for the war party. And it is absolutely just nation-wrecking stuff. It's not that long ago that the Soviet Union collapsed under its own weight of trying to print up money and keep up with an arms buildup in a Cold War with the West. We learned no lessons from that. We allow our parties to do exactly that. You know who does not spend $859 billion on a military budget? Libertarians. The only group that stands on principle of that stuff and echoes the founding fathers of peace and commerce among all nations, entangling alliances with none. This is interesting. I've kind of just run across a series of clips. These are basically old confessions from CIA people who talk about how they gin up these wars. We had one where the guy explained how he manipulated the mainstream media by befriending them, meeting them for cocktails, and then just slipping them false stories that they would report on, up to and including the fact that they would, you know, maybe call the British ambassador and say, hey, look, I'm about to lie to a journalist. I'm going to tell him to call you to confirm it. Make sure that you confirm the lie that I tell him. And that's how they got us deeper and deeper into the Vietnam War. But these hits just keep on coming. This is Howard Hunt talking about how you stoke fear. The caption on this thing is, how does the CIA conduct regime change operations? They utilize insights from social psychology to create a sense of crisis in the country as part of a wider terror campaign. And in Guatemala in 1954 is a case study described here by the CIA agents in charge of it. And that's what's going on right now. The CIA is leading conservatives to get bloodthirsty against China right now, the same way they've led the left to get bloodthirsty against Russia. It's all manipulation. They're not coming to take your stuff, but they will get you wound up on this stuff every time.
So they said a decision has been made at the highest levels of our government to rid Guatemala of the Arbenz regime, and we would like you to participate in it. You will be the chief of propaganda and political action.
In Guatemala, what the CIA did was mobilize every facet of American power. It didn't just isolate Guatemala militarily and diplomatically, but it used the techniques of social psychology in the nearly year-long campaign, which created a sense of crisis in Guatemala.
What we wanted to do was have a terror campaign to terrify Arbenz particularly, terrify his troops, much as the German Stuka bombers terrified the population of Holland, Belgium, and Poland at the onset of World War II.
And that's what they did, so that the United States could control the economy of Guatemala, destroying the dreams of its people.
We sowed confusion through the countryside. And, of course, by this time, we had aircraft flying over and dropping leaflets and doing a little harmless bombing.
A little harmless bombing and a CIA terror campaign cost thousands of lives. Arbenz, the Democrat now branded a communist, was humiliated, stripped naked, and photographed before being forced into exile. Richard Nixon, then Vice President of the United States, flew in to congratulate the new dictators.
That Guatemala is going to enter a new era in which there will be prosperity for the people, together with liberty for the people.
General Rios Montt was to be one of Washington's faces of liberty. During his time as president in the 1980s, thousands of people were murdered by death squads, most of them indigenous men, women, and children.
We love our democracy spreading, don't we? This is just this just continues to go on up to and including today with Ukraine. I will mention the one thing about Ukraine, and I'm going to read. I'm going to try to find some things. I believe Putin has given another speech recently. I'm interested to read. You know, there is one thing. There's been a lot of talk about how Russia is going to use nukes in this war. And Russia has been very, very clear. He said, we don't need to use nuclear weapons. And our stance is, they've been very clear on this. They said, our stance is that we will not use nuclear weapons unless our nuclear capabilities are attacked. If we feel that they are trying to take us off having the nuclear deterrent, then that is when nuclear weapons are appropriate for use when it comes to Russia's red line in the sand. This past week, drones were used that were provided by NATO and the West to the Ukrainians. We tried to walk it back and say, well, we didn't give them the technology to go into Russia, but the Ukrainians did. They went into Russia and attacked areas that I believe are some of their nuclear-capable areas. That is actually the line where Russia has said it then becomes part of their policy to use nuclear weapons in defense of their nuclear weapons program. We've actually, it appears, crossed that line, but I'm going to read exactly what Putin, what the Russian government is saying. I'm actually very interested in this stuff. But while it seems like things, we don't talk about Russia and Ukraine a whole lot these days, except when we're sending them buckets of money. But the events that have taken place just over the last week could be some of the most concerning things that have happened since this thing kicked off. There was also, this is False Flag Friday, there was something going on in Germany this past week. They say they had an attempted coup in Germany. And so we're going to take a look a little bit at that. Was this just another false flag? It even includes the Reichstag. And that is famously known for being how Germany was able to kick off World War II in the first place and do their purge of their own citizens was that they staged this Reichstag attack back leading into World War II. In the same building, that is their Congress, they are saying, was being targeted for an attack again. This is to take down, they're actually laying it at the feet of the Q movement around the world. But it's interesting to me, number one, this may just be another big, you know, the government of Germany, which is absolutely horrific, just like all governments around the Western world are these days, just proactively going out and framing a bunch of people the same way that January 6 people have been framed and the people who were supposedly going to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer were framed here in the United States. It may be that, but it just reminded me of a German publisher. And when he blew the whistle on intelligence services running the mainstream media in Germany, I think it's kind of worth revisiting that in light of what they are saying right now. Is the German government foiling a coup? So we'll see where that lands. Be right back. Ultimately, I play all these CIA clips of CIA agents basically admitting to what they do. It's all manipulation and propaganda. And if you support this war against Russia, you've been manipulated. But I hate to tell you, if you support military action for Taiwan, you're being manipulated. If you were convinced to be an Iran hawk, that we shouldn't have gone into Afghanistan, we shouldn't have gone into Iraq, but we definitely need to face off with Iran, you've been manipulated. All of these things are just manipulations, and this is what leads us to these $859 billion Pentagon budgets. Our troops aren't getting rich. I think they gave them a 4% raise. In the face of what we know is 15% inflation, your troops just got a 4.8% raise, something like that. You ain't enriching those brave men and women who sign up to serve their country. No, you're enriching Raytheon, United Technologies, Halliburton. You're enriching defense contractors, and they're manipulating you to do it. Speaking of manipulation, I thought this was interesting. I think I'll put this in here, too. Whitney Webb does some great investigative work, almost too much. If I hear an interview with Whitney Webb, I've got to listen to it two or three times. She did great work on Jeffrey Epstein and all of the intelligence connections of both Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and her father, Robert Maxwell. It's really a nasty story of how governments operate and the things that they will actually participate in, including human trafficking to blackmail leaders. But she also weighed in on the Kanye stuff, because right now everybody's talking about these people who are expressing anti-Semitic views. And you know what that's going to lead to, right? More censorship. And more control over people of what you can and cannot say.
there is a very nuanced case to make from the conservative side that criticizes the U.S. relationship with Israel and Zionism in its influence on American foreign policy and even domestic policy in the United States. You know, for people that are listening, I just think it's important to point out some of these key points. And one of the most important points out of this is it is documented that as part of the U.S. special relationship, quote unquote, between the U.S. and Israel, the U.S. provides Israel with sensitive U.S. military technology. Since the 90s, people in the U.S. national security state, the early 90s, have been going off on how Israel has been sending all of that tech stuff to China.
No.
To undermine our U.S. national security. Then you have the case of the Promise software scandal. Confirmed Israeli intelligence even involved Robert Maxwell. Put back doors into sensitive U.S. nuclear net laboratories and stole nuclear research. You have numerous cases of Israeli intelligence engaging in espionage against the U.S. national security state and then using that sensitive stolen data and giving it to our ostensible adversaries. If you are a conservative concerned about the rise of China, you have to look at this stuff. You can't look away from it. But for some reason, you know, people do. Are we going to subsidize the Israeli military when they're undermining U.S. national security? Are we going to continue subsidize not just their military, but also they get lots of other subsidies from the U.S. From their for like economic stuff and industry and what that, but they have a standard of living that's comparable to the Netherlands. Why are we pouring billions over there still? You know, so I mean, from a conservative standpoint, there's a lot to criticize. And if the people around Kanye West were quote unquote serious about starting a real conversation about some of the issues here, they would make calculated moves like any political campaign, right? You sit down, you talk about the talking points, you plan them out. You plan out your PR and all of this stuff, and people write speeches for you and set up talking points for you for interviews and whatever. And since he's had this quote unquote campaign staff, he's gone from trying to have his version of a quote unquote normal conversation, I guess, to, you know, having a ski mask on his head and talking as a makeshift puppet in an Elmo voice on Alex Jones.
And what that's going to lead to is more laws, more censorship, more things around the idea of everything that is maybe questioning Israel's special relationship with the United States will be labeled anti-Semitic. I've been accused of that for the past 6 years if I have challenged, again, conservatives. This love of this relationship with Israel. Trump was the greatest president Israel ever had. It was well known. A lot of people cheer for that. I do not believe the government of Israel is our friend. There was also something that went on in Germany this past week. What they're telling us is that they stopped a plot to overthrow the German government. But I thought this was interesting only in, you know, I don't know if this is real or if this is more kind of January 6th stuff in Germany to consolidate power and keep Germany is abusing its people. They're cutting down their forest to try to heat their homes for this winter in Germany. I mean, the German people are taking this on the chin. When it comes to this Ukraine issue, they had a great opportunity to take great natural resources from Russia at a fair price, heat their homes and go about their lives. But the German government, along with NATO and the West, has decided instead to create this conflict with Russia and then make all the people in Western societies suffer from the sanctions that are imposed upon them. I wouldn't blame the Germans from trying to rise up against their government. Or is this just another one of these false flag type January 6th? It was a coup. And they went out and arrested a bunch of people.
How real was the threat of a coup against the German government?
Well, we hear that the network started forming at the latest in November of last year, and that investigations in the network started in spring of this year when authorities received a tip from the intelligence service of the state of Hessen here in Germany. And the group had already started planning all of this in practice. And the intentions of this group were quite significant. They really planned to put in place a coup and the ringleader of this group had already, according to the prosecutors, reached out, for example, to representatives of Russia here in Germany, because the group saw Russia as the one country who could help them negotiate this new order, new government that they wanted to install in Germany. And also, given the size of this operation to dismantle this group, it seems like the threat was quite significant.
So there you go. They had one report. I don't have time to play all of them, but one of the reports said this was a worldwide Q network. So they are blaming that group of people for doing this. But I wanted to play this. This is an old clip. This was a journalist. I can't remember. He wasn't with Der Spiegel, I don't think. I can't remember. He was a German publisher, and he quit very publicly and went out and said he was tired of doing the bidding. And this is, again, he's a German, tired of doing the bidding of intelligence agencies and trying to pose things as news because it was just fed from intelligence agencies to manipulate the German people the same way they manipulate all the people in the West.
Well, I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now, within the last months, how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return. And I'm going to stand up and say it is not right what I have done in the past. To manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia, and it is not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe. The reason writing this book was that I am very fearful of a new war in Europe, and I don't like to have this situation again, because war is never coming from itself. There is always people behind it to push for war. And this is not only politicians, this is journalists too. And I just have written in the book how we have betrayed in the past our readers just to push for war. And because I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with this propaganda. We live in a banana republic and not in a democratic country where we have press freedom, where we have human rights. If you see the German media, especially my colleagues who day by day write against the Russians, who are in transatlantic organizations and who are supported by the United States to do so, well, people like me, I became honorary citizen of the state of Oklahoma in the United States. Just why? Just because I write pro-American. I wrote pro-American. I was supported by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the CIA. Why? Because I should be pro-American. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to do it anymore. And so I've just written a book not to earn money. No, it will cause a lot of trouble for me, just to give the people in this country, in Germany, in Europe, and all over the world, just to give them a glimpse of a view what goes up behind the closed doors.
as I say, that's an old clip. He was talking about them fomenting this war against Russia. This was years and years ago. The guy, I can't even pronounce his name, Udo Ufkult. That's probably a butchering of his name. We won't get any new clips on him. He's dead. He's been dead for a little while now. I don't know if it was suspicious or not, but it's just one more thing to tell you. The American media, the Western media, NATO country media, they are driven to drag you to war. When you believe these things, when you support these endless wars, when you support these endless military budgets, it's pure manipulation. I'd just like to see it. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday. We finish every Friday the same way as we chronicle the world's descent into madness on the segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. I ended up getting mostly some just really bizarro stuff between green and environmental stuff. Not as much with Joe Biden this week, but we did get one clip from him. But I'll start off with this. We learned something this past week. Really wasn't talked about very much on the mainstream news, but there was some pretty big news when it came to COVID and where it got kicked off.
Was the Chinese COVID an intelligence failure or a blatant lie? We know that China covered up the outbreak to protect its own image. But was the United States an instrument in this cover-up? How much has the world been forced to pay up because of this very cover-up? These aren't easy questions, and many are afraid to ask. But on this show, we are not. Tonight, I have some tough questions for every world leader, every policymaker that is watching us right now. What is it that they are afraid of? Or rather, whom are they afraid of? I ask this because once again, a person with close knowledge of what was happening in the Wuhan Institute of Virology has come forward to say that COVID-19 was made in a Chinese lab and that the United States was hand in glove.
Wouldn't you think that that would be pretty big news? That was the guy with Eco Alliance who's resigned and then blown the whistle, explaining that, this stuff was made in a lab. He was around it. It made him nervous, and they released it on the world. You would think that'd be a pretty big news story, but it's not. I guess there's plenty of distractions out there to keep us busy. I've got one clip here of Joe Biden mumbling and fumbling his way through a speech.
We'll construct a second fab here in Phoenix to build chips, three nano chips. And you know what I'm saying. Nano, I don't know.
The leader of the free world, ladies and gentlemen. The leader of the free world. One of the oddest stories, and I couldn't get to it last week. I ran out of time. But if you've been paying attention to the story about Biden's nuclear waste disposal thing, a new felony arrest warrant has just been issued for Sam Brenton, the senior Department of Energy official who just weeks ago confessed to stealing luggage at the Minneapolis airport. Now the ostentatiously non-binary deputy assistant secretary for spent fuel and waste disposition stands accused of perpetrating the same crime at Las Vegas airport. So this was a Minneapolis airport. This guy had picked up luggage. He didn't have any checked bags, but he picked up a very nice, several hundred dollars, woman's bag off of the thing, took it back to his hotel room, dumped out all the clothes. I guess they weren't his size. You have to see this guy. This is not great for radio, but you can look up Sam Brenton if you're not familiar with this character. This is the non-binary. He is bald, but constantly wearing dresses or pantsuits. Posing, he looks a little bit like David Bowie, like a bald David Bowie from the 1970s. He is in charge of nuclear waste disposal here in this country. There's also pictures of him that he has posted to his own social media prior to his appointment for Puppy Play, which is him shirtless in leather pants with other men on all fours in dog masks and leather bondage clothing. He has been arrested again, apparently, or charged again with stealing a second bag from another luggage carrier thing. These are the people that are currently running the U.S. government. There was an interesting protest that was out, and I'm going to get a little lost in this. I'm telling you, when it comes to the transgender stuff, I'm not sure exactly how to report on it because I get confused on the what's a he, what's a she, which way we're supposed to go with these things. But the headline was transgender activist attack feminist protesting men in women's prisons. I'll read there's a lot of twists and turns in that. Transgender activist attack feminist protesting men in women's prisons. So there were actually feminists out. This was in Alameda County in Oakland, California, as some men were being transferred that were declared themselves transgender. They were going to be transferred and housed in women's prisons. So the feminists are not happy with this. They do not want dudes in with the ladies in jail Actually, we should all be on the side of the feminist in this particular thing. But they were accosted by another left-wing group, which is are their transgenders, who were, I guess, in support of putting men into these women's prisons. So you have the transgender activist attacking feminists protesting men in women's prisons. That is Oakland, California. Let's see. This I ran across this from somebody. At this point, you don't know what is satire and what is not. This was a Twitter thing put out by Anne Lesby. That's an interesting. She's got PhD and then she, her next to her name and a rainbow. So I can only assume she may have been serious about this. She tweeted this out. Misgendering a pet can result in serious micro subconscious distress. Pay attention to clues. Your pet will let you know his, her, their, seer identity through things like body language, toy preference, and reaction to gendered pet clothing. She did follow this with hashtag pet gender, hashtag trans pets. Oh, my God. She's a PhD, so we should certainly listen to her. Oh, let's see. There was another one there. I had a great clip of somebody explaining the air pronouns, but it apparently has been taken down off of Twitter, so I don't have that one. This was a Veritas thing. They were talking. I don't even know if I really want to even play this clip, but I'm going to. I've got it sitting here, and this is actually the Dean of Students. The Dean of Students, I think he's going to explain to us who he was with. Veritas is the one that uncovered this, but listen to a program the Dean of Students rolled out at one university.
Meet Joe Bruno, Dean of Students at the prestigious Francis W. Parker Private School in Chicago, which happens to charge $40,000 per student. Parents might be stunned to learn that Bruno's version of love and acceptance means handing out sex toys to underage students.
So I've been the dean for 4 years. During Pride, we do a Pride Week every year, and I had... I had our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Who is this?
This is an LGBTQ plus health center came in to talk to my high school students. Nice. They're just like passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. They're looking at them.
In the school?
In a classroom.
Wow.
Yeah. While I'm sitting there.
While I'm sitting there, Dean of Schools... at a high school, prestigious, $40,000 a year to send your child to one of these schools. That is the crazy train. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week. I got to tell you, I'm kind of happy to put this one in the, behind me. I need a couple of days off. Next week, next Friday, you've got 1 week. Stonington Farm, they will be delivering small orders to the Jackson area on Friday the 16th. So if you want to order some of the best, most nutritious beef you can find out there, now is the time to reach out to Stonington Farm. They will be here next Friday, December 16th. They will have a 3 o'clock drop-off in Brandon and a 4 o'clock drop-off in North Jackson, right off of I-55. They can also deliver along the 49 corridor. They're coming up from Perkiston, Mississippi. Now, if you want to order a prime rib, a tenderloin, or a strip loin for Christmas, I believe you need to do that by the 12th. They need to get orders in for holiday stuff before that. But if you're looking to just order like I do, ribeyes and things like that, some of their great cuts of meat, then you've got a few days to do that. They will be here next Friday making this delivery. Again, for any of you who are not familiar with Stonington Farm, you can find them at stoningtonfarm.com. That's S-T-O-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, farm, singular, .com. They are grass-fed beef, Mississippi-born, raised, and processed beef. Nutritional profile is great, no hormones, no antibiotics. You are getting the best, most nutritious cuts of meat you can get, and the taste is fantastic. I really appreciate all the listeners who are supporting them so that they are making these new deliveries now. We are single-handedly opening up the Jackson Market for them, and everybody is raving about what they're getting. So thank you for letting me know that you're using them and for letting Stonington Farm know where you heard about them. So next Friday, if you want to get an order, have some of the best meat around for your holiday celebrations, this is the place to do it. It's stoningtonfarm.com. You can see everything they've got. There's a phone number you're going to call down there. Talk to probably Katie Stonington, one of the ranchers down there, and she will take your order, make some suggestions to you. She's probably even got recipes she can share with you. Just fantastic people, locally owned. That's just, they check off all the boxes of a great company to support, and it's good for your health. So that's stoningtonfarm.com, delivering next Friday. Get your order in soon. All right, let's see what we can finish up with here. The terrorizing of our children by the left is really, really abhorrent. Check this thing out. Speaking of bad schools,
emotions were high at the school board meeting. Dozens of parents and teachers were angry and upset that the administration is sweeping this under the rug.
I feel completely unsupported and completely disrespected.
At Friday night's meeting, teachers told 5 News that on November 30th, middle school teachers attended a meeting, and at the end of the meeting, administrators had one more thing to show them.
He showed us a video that played somber music, and it was in, like, in memoria style, that said on December 14th, 2022, a gunman entered Prairie Grove Middle School. This many people were injured. This many people were killed.
The December 14th date is ominous, as it's the day of the Sandy Hook school shooting. Teachers described the video with students and teachers' pictures shown on the screen as if they died in the foreshadowed school shooting.
I am absolutely horrified to work for a district that would allow this.
And you should be. Quit immediately. Homeschool your children. They put out a video simulating the death of some of their students and teachers about this school shooting issue. Here's another story about just absolutely terrorizing children on the left. Listen to this. As Nancy Pelosi and other aged House Democrats seem to be backing away from their political stage, a new crop of Democrats are trying to make their mark by one-upping the ideological insanity of their predecessors. Incoming House Democrat Whip Catherine Clark claimed in a recent interview with NBC that she is politically inspired because she remembers her middle child, quote, waking up with nightmares, unquote, about climate change, and her family going to movie theaters with the expectation and fear that a mass shooter would appear. Your child does not have climate change and mass shooter nightmares in the middle of the night unless you are absolutely indoctrinating them and filling them with an unnecessary fear. Absolutely disgusting what they're doing to our children. They did it with COVID as well. Let's get down to some of the green stuff here. Here's a company solving a problem.
Jiminy's started with an idea. What if we could reduce our dog's carbon paw print? Oh. Not just this dog, but all 90 million that live in the U.S. Why not? We're making changes for ourselves and the rest of our family. It makes sense that we'd want to include our furry kids as we rethink how we do things. We realized that the biggest problem is the 36 billion pounds of protein that our pups are eating each year. It's coming from traditional sources like cow and chicken, not sustainable and sadly, rarely humane. So at Jiminy's, we replaced that traditional animal protein with cricket protein.
There you go. They're forcing the dogs to start eating crickets. It's better than soy, though. You know, if they start loading up these, I'm sure there's already a ton of soy in pet foods as it is now, but they've switched them all the way over to soy, you're going to have a lot more transgendered pets. Here's what they're doing in the Netherlands. How these people are putting up with it. The farmers are not. Big protest in the Netherlands. Thoughts and prayers with every farmer out there, particularly when they pull out the manure cannons. I love that when they coat government buildings with manure. Here's why they're doing it.
Now, moving on. In October, farmers in the Netherlands took a stand against the government's green crackdown on the agricultural industry by gridlocking motorways, you'll remember, with thousands of tractors in peak hour traffic. The Dutch government, however, has not listened to the farmers and is now about to shut down, wait for this, 3,000 farms. They're going to close down. This is World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's stuff on steroids. 3,000 farms are going to be shut down in a bid to comply with EU emissions standards. Ooh, methane. Ooh, nitrogen in the soil. Ooh, Chris Bowen. The effects of this scheme are going to be devastating for farmers, but it looks to be the only, it's only the first step in what the EU are planning.
This is it. I got to tell you, small farmers in Mississippi, support them now while we can. Shutting down 3,000 farms in the Netherlands. You can rest assured it won't be any of the big corporate farms. The World Economic Forum has got their own plans for how food production will go forward.
So the role of businesses in the agri-food sector should be stimulated and able to create scalable solutions. And here I'd like to highlight a World Economic Forum initiative in this regard, the World Economic Forum Food Innovation Hubs. And these hubs in Africa, in Asia, in South America and in Europe will allow businesses to connect regional stakeholders to skill innovations, because this is key, skill innovations that can address food systems challenges. And here I'm particularly proud to announce that the Netherlands will host the Global Coordinating Secretariat.
Now, I want you to understand what he's saying. They're going to shut down 3,000 farms in the Netherlands, and then they're going to address food production problems they're having over there. Gee, I wonder what could be causing the production problems. Maybe shutting down 3,000 farms?
Of the World Economic Forum Food Innovation Hubs, which will connect all other food innovation hubs. And I believe this is important because it will be facilitating to create the partnerships we need.
Yes. Crickets, fake meat. I had a story here, too. I don't know if you saw this. Huge verdict against Hertz. Hertz rental cars apparently was... The people at Hertz were losing rental cars and then just accusing their customers of actually stealing the cars. And I believe many people were harassed, some even arrested for stealing rental cars that Hertz had lost. So keep that in mind if you find yourself in need of a rental car during the holidays. That's all the time I've got. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how